Dude, the Costco kale salad, the best. It's like pre-made cranberries, dried cranberries, some kind of seed. I'm going to say pumpkin. And the dressing is dope, but this is literally the best salad. It's so good.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't rave very much about salads, but this one's legit.
Welcome to Contagious Podcast, episode 3 and 4. I'm going to go ahead and preface, but Ben Hadley is on today. Ben and I, every time we get on a call, on the phone, anything, it seems like we could just talk for hours about automotive innovation. And today is no different. So you're going to get part one and part two. We're going to break it up just a little bit for you. But we're talking about tech and training and how tech needs a good training process, because our people have to be the people that are carrying the torch for the tech that we have in the stores. So empowerment of our people comes with the softwares that we use, but empowerment comes more from the training that we give them to utilize the software. So I can't wait for you to hear it. I can't wait for you to be a part of the conversation. Ben Hadley is the head of emerging product at Dealer Inspire, has spent years in the automotive industry on both the dealer and vendor side. So I can't wait for you to check it out. So without further ado, so you guys can jump in, hear part one, and then keep playing on part two, here is Ben.
All right, so Ben, man, we talk ad nauseum. And so I apologize to everyone already on this, that if this goes like an hour, I don't edit. So we're going to have to keep each other honest. But just thinking about the software landscape, and you've been, you know, you've been in the dealership and then on the software / vendor side for quite some time. What in the software landscape right now, particularly in automotive, is both innovating, but also like way behind, that we need to bring forward for like a new generation of people that want to be in automotive, people that want to do business with us even. How far are we behind? Are we that far behind, or are we really far behind?
I think historically, I would say for the last 10 years, we've gotten away as tech companies, speaking as a tech company, with innovating in the marketing arena, because it was something that we were so clearly behind on. It was like, you know, 2009 to 2011, you'd walk in when I was at dealer.com and you'd basically say, the pitch is easy. How many cars does the newspaper sell you? I don't know. Cool. You should do this thing called a website. Like, that was it. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. We'll tell you exactly how many leads are attributed back to the car sale. People go bananas. Like, yeah, let's do this all day. That was when we were behind. Now we're caught up. I don't think anybody's or should be debating like that the other verticals are outperforming us from a marketing standpoint. Yeah. But if you look at the difference between revolutionizing marketing versus where we're going, I think a lot of things start changing. And one, for instance, is marketing is really concerned as an end goal with traffic, whether that's physical or digital, right? And since we've kind of reached this point where, dude, we did it. The SEO, we did it. The SEM, we did it. The display, we did it. The pay, you know, on and on. We did it.
Yeah.
And probably we're not doing it. We're probably outsourcing it to someone else. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right. Like, that's the other, there's an asterisk there, but we did it. The only thing we can do now is start looking in the mirrors and looking and saying, what else is there to do to differentiate me from the next person? And that mirror is going to tell you it's all process or process oriented products. So stuff that's basically not trying to help customers shop. That was the old era. The new era is helping salespeople sell, or helping operators operate.
Yeah. Right? So, okay, real quick then, did we get it backwards?
What do you mean?
Or was it just too easy that, like, since marketing was so archaic and we were obviously behind?
Yeah.
It was just too easy for like these SaaS companies to come in and be like, I don't need to integrate with anything. I don't need to touch any part of what's going on. I'm just going to take these dollars and I'm going to put them over here. Poof. Things are going to be better.
Yeah.
But really what we needed to do was we needed to go, hold on just a minute, because we got this really super broken process, broken software, broken ideology over here. And we probably needed to press pause. I'm thinking, I'm just throwing this out there, that we probably should have pressed pause. Or maybe now we're like, oh shoot, all these customers are coming to our door and all the marketing geniuses got cool about come buy from us. We're the best place to buy a car. And then they got to us and we're still getting bad reviews.
I think the market corrects itself, right? So like if you're a tech company, why fight the really hard fight, which is changing process? That doesn't make any sense. So I don't think there's like tech isn't at fault there. But it's pretty clear the individual dealerships that were in parallel building processes around the new audiences they were getting from tech. It's pretty clear those that were and those that weren't. Cause like, you know, it's a bullshit answer, but those go hand in hand, right? Like you, all of a sudden you're exposing yourself, especially in the beginning. Imagine in the very beginning, you're one of the first dealerships with this website. You're getting these weird auto buy tell leads. They're coming through fax. You're like, who do I even give these to? You end up giving it to Jerry because maybe Jerry's not great on the floor, but you figure Jerry's pretty geeky, so he can handle these internet customers. And then Jerry takes it and gives a pretty custom experience to that person at that time because we are treating those individuals like a unique audience. But now I think the audience has become mainstream, right? It's just the norm. Yeah. This is how we shop. Yeah. So think about that for a second. Like the birth of the internet department was a custom tailored experience for a very specific customer, right? In which we built around process and built around this new type of customer and said, okay, like, let's make sure we do this, this, and this for them. Because we know if we do, we'll get it. And then when it became commonplace, somehow we still have these internet departments. And the point, like what's weird is like, why are we treating, like why even have them almost? Because the customer is, they're all internet customers, right?
Yeah.
Every single one of them. So now if that's not the individual unique experience, that's the norm. Why are we pretending like they should have an individual unique experience? They shouldn't. Our whole dealership should have adapted, to what became normal. So everybody should be an internet salesperson. Everybody should be an internet manager. Everybody should be an internet marketer. Everybody should.
Right? I heard someone on this fancy new thing, Clubhouse, right? Which you, hey, iPad, you finally got on, right? But yeah. I heard someone saying that they were talking about like lead dispersion. And it was like, you know, those few people in your dealership that you can trust to take that over, you know, that you can trust to kind of like take over that internet lead or get that customer when they
come
in, those few people.
Right.
It's like, okay, so fire everyone else, right?
Right.
Okay, don't fire anyone. Just let's train them. Okay. Let's train them up. But seriously, like the thought process of like, oh, we only have a few people that can actually handle that type of customer.
Right.
Like if you are not confident in your whole team handling that type of interaction, then you've got the wrong people. You're absolutely
right. Or the wrong training. I mean, historically, right? Like I like that version more because this industry you know, has been, your training comes from the dealership you messed up at.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like you enter into the industry and you go to a dealership, they're kind of like, go for it. You're like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you leave, but you learned a little bit. And then you go across the street, you go to a competitor, you move to a different state, you get in again, and now you're a little better. And, you know, and then you start picking it up. And if you're really smart, you stay there forever because you can actually make a really solid book of business if you stay for at least 7 years. I think a lot of guys end up cutting out in the 3 or 4 year mark, not realizing what they're missing on the table. They're like, oh, I'm going to go get a little bit pay bump over here. Not realizing, dude, if you just held on for a little while longer and you did your job well.
Massive. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got a loyal customer coming back to you. That's a whole other topic, but back to your original thing. So from a software standpoint, that's what I've been beating on is from a software design standpoint, from a software purchasing standpoint, cool, you know, make sure your marketing is in order. If it's not, and it's 2021 and you're listening to this and you're going, oh, Ben, I don't think my marketing is in order, dude. Okay. Like, yeah, there's plenty of great places to solve that and you should solve it immediately and it will be easy to solve.
Yeah.
As soon as you do, the next follow-up is, look at the operational tool set you have, what is actually being used, what really should be used more, probably your CRM, and then start building out a process around a future tool you're thinking about buying. Don't buy the tool, then build the process. Build the process, execute the process, right? Without the tool. So you, like for instance, with digital retail, you can sell a freaking car online without digital retail. You have a finance app on your website,
yep,
right? You have a trade-in evaluation form on your website. You probably have the tools. It's just really annoying to use them all. They're not one succinct thing, right? Yep. So go and form a process around what you have and then find a tool that alleviates and makes that process way easier for you, not just for your customer, but for you, right? That's the new way to buy stuff. And I think we have still too much and develop, but I think we have way too much still of like, my 20 group says, or I heard, or you buy it. And then you're like scrambling to figure out how to use it to the maximum degree after the fact, which is just crazy to me.
Yeah, no, I like that. I mean, you know, like we're a fairly progressive dealer, like as it goes. Right. Yeah. On Nelson Auto Group. We've been doing single point of contact for a year and a half. There's some people that are still finding out that that's even a thing in the industry.
Yeah. Right?
Not even just like, no, we don't want to do it. Like, wait, so you're telling me there's places without finance managers running great per copies and doing F&I penetration. And they're like, you know, you see the like little emoji and their head is popping off or whatever. And, we did like a DR tool on our website, which for whatever, I mean, we could probably go for like 2 hours on that. Right. But we did a DR tool on our website a year after we installed single point of contact.
Perfect. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You know? And so, and like, we're still trying to learn the interaction of that customer online. But I mean, reality is that for the majority of dealerships, more people are still doing, and COVID accelerated all that type of stuff. I mean, 5% of your dealerships who are getting all the white papers, right, with every DR tool right now are heavy online retail. The rest of us are still doing a ton of in-store retail, probably upwards of 80, 90% of like real deals. And so there's that necessity to adjust process to align with software. And the reality is, if you find the right software and you have the right process and training and people, they're going to get that. And they're going to be like, oh, this is super easy because I have an iPhone. You know, they get it.
The super easy part, that's the beauty of this. If you map, like you guys did, you map out the process first, you execute the process. There's hiccups in the process. You fix the hiccups. You run it again and again and again and again. And then a company calls you, right? Dealer Inspire says, hey, we have this thing, online shopper, you should check it out. It's got this other piece, backend tool, whatever. It's going to help your salespeople sell. That's the end all be all pitch. Okay. Now you actually have a litmus test. Now you can actually say truth or fact, and you can go to people that have skin in the game. And when this is the problem with the software that is helping us sell, the sales enablement software that's coming out that we're all probably adopting more of in 2020 and 2021 and on, all of that stuff only works if it gets adoption. And you're only going to get salespeople level adoption if they really feel like it alleviated part of their day. So you build their day first, and then you give them the sales stuff. And then they're like, oh shit, yeah, that just made my, that made my whole life easier. That made the whole sale easier. That made the process smoother.
Yes.
Then you're a win. But if you start with the thing first, and then you're like, yeah, then we're going to
use
make this, yeah, use it. Then we're going to make a process around it. That doesn't feel the same, right? That feels like, oh man, we got this thing. I'm used to doing it this way. Now they want me to do it this whole other way. And you're going to get way more resistance and less buy-in from the team.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I got to give you a use case. So we've had a video software, for a while. If anyone wants to know about it, DM me. I think it's a great product. I'm not going to drop it here, but, so we've had a video software for a long time that we use in service, and we brought it over to sales probably a couple years ago. And, you know, a couple people dabbled with it. And then all of a sudden we were like, oh my goodness, we need to send every internet lead a video. Yeah. And everyone was like, okay, that's fine. And so we got like a 70% adoption rate on that. Like 70% of our internet leads would get a video. Right. Yeah. And we would, I mean, for our stores, we're like medium sized stores. We'd get out anywhere between like 15 and 30 videos a day. And we're doing this process. And I mean, I think video is great. People connect with it. We're doing a video podcast because of that, right?
Yeah.
It's genius. And all the industry. And so I'm like, man, this is good. It's going well. People like it. They're communicating it back through reviews. And then on last week, I'm like, I'm driving in the car thinking, wait a second. We have never framed this in a way that like our people can actually go, this is everything, right? This is what I did. I'm in a sales meeting. I took over the sales meeting. I know I'm in marketing and all that type of stuff. I take over the sales meeting. I used to be a sales manager. Yeah. I take over the sales meeting and I go and I say, look, here's the thing. Every single customer that you've ever communicated with, your face is more important than your voice or an email. Would you believe that? And they say, well, absolutely. They all say back to me, well, absolutely. Yeah. And I get the buy-in and I'm like, and not just that, but like, if you were to, you know, say that your dealer trade just arrived and it was in video, they would probably really get excited about that. And they were like, oh yeah, absolutely.
All day.
And so I dropped like four or five more buy-in things. And I was like, and we have a tool for that. And they were all like, oh, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. That one store, the one store that I was at the sales meeting, dropped over 400 videos in customers' laps in 2 days. Not just that, but we had our biggest Saturday in 18 months.
Jeez.
I know. Like, so I'm not saying that video is the end all, but it was just a to prove your point of like, you have to get that buy-in, that process, that all that to get
people
to the point of use.
I feel like for the regular dude out there, right? Like, cause that's like, sometimes like when we're talking, I feel like we're talking about the future a little bit too much, or not the future a little bit too much. That's not the right way to think of it. It's like, dude, like I've seen so many dealers out in the country and you guys just, it's not just that you're progressive from a tech stack standpoint, you're progressive from a process standpoint. And so it's like, oh, cool. Like I think one of the things I'm excited for you to bring to the table on this podcast is like how you got, the dealership to this point, right? Like, how do you get a dealership that is maybe marketing 2021, but process 2016 into 2021? I think that is the legwork that like no one's really talking about right now, in our community at all. You know, we'd like tend to like bring up, like we got all these like, you know, talking heads and it's like, yeah, check out this tool, check out this thing, check out the whatever. Not too many people are talking about what you and I are talking about, which is like, dude, that's cool and everything, but let's pretend you have it and make a day around it, make a position around it, make a whatever around it. And then like that kind of step-by-step thing, dude, that I think that's huge. Like, I think that's like the most needed thing in the industry right now is a voice to start helping carry that message to people.
Yeah. Well, so if I guess the podcast interview style just like got flipped or something, right? But yeah, he's like interviewing me now. But
oh yeah, this is welcome to Contagious.
Yeah. So no, that's a huge deal. Like culture and the people you hire. Let me tell you, and it's really dangerous. You have to be, so a good friend of mine who's going to be on the podcast, maybe like you can cameo into it because you would absolutely love him, but yeah. Tom Ryan, and we'll see him in a few weeks, but he is with the Ryan Adams Group and he installs single point of contact and one price dealerships, right? Okay. So basically he says, he sits in the meeting the first day with us and he looks at us and this is, let's see, early 2019. And to be fair, like we'd done some work back in 2013 to already get to a place from a culture perspective, hiring perspective.
Yep.
But he sits in us and he says, look, I know you guys give all these promises and you've already created a process and you've already done a lot of things to get to the place of like being progressive, not just from like a tech stack perspective, but from a process perspective. He said, you have to get off the boat, walk onto the bridge, light a match and throw it on the boat from where you
are. Totally.
Which is really scary.
It is scary.
To be fair, like we lost some employees. We didn't want to. I mean, we did everything. Like we cared. We communicated early, like cared deeply, had one-on-one coaching sessions, communication, brought like the Dude, whole team into the play.
One-on-one coaching sessions?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, right?
What?
Yeah, we even brought the whole team into the playbook. Like every single person that was a sales employee at some point or the other was brought into playbook writing meetings.
Wow.
And so like there was intense buy-in, but we still lost employees and we still had, like there was still some loss of profit for a time.
Yeah.
Which is really, especially, I mean, we're sitting here at the end of 2020 and if you're any sort of dealer that like knew how to manage themselves just a little bit, you blew up, right?
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about software or process or anything like that, it's a hard pill to swallow to adjust a process. But I think what you were really also asking is that, okay, so maybe I'm not trying to be a single point of contact dealer. I'm not trying to do all that.
Sure.
But I realize that there's some level of culture issue that can't, like, even if I wanted to, even if like I'm a dealer principal, I just caught wind of some incredible people. Maybe I'm on this podcast listening and I'm going, wow, that's the future or that's the now. I have to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at your sales staff going, oh boy. Right.
Right.
Service staff going, okay. Step back. I mean, that you said it right there. One-on-one coaching, invite them to the podcast, get them on LinkedIn, get them on social, have monthly meetings, change the culture. Instead of sitting in your office, go down to the sales meeting or the service meeting. And if you're being affected by something, like let it affect the culture of the whole thing.
I know. It feels like I just ripped you out of a conversation that was about to dive right in. Shoot, we're about to get to some really awesome stuff, including talking Simon Sinek, DGDG, and some of the impressive changes that are happening in automotive. And I can't wait for you to listen. But what I wanted you to get is that last little phrasing, that change starts with you, that if you're in the automotive industry, whether you're a GM, dealer principal, salesperson, sales manager, software vendor, sales in that environment, account rep, whatever it is, change gets to start with you. So get up out of your seat. Don't listen to part two until you've done something that encourages your employees, your people, the people that you work with to change, to innovate, to grow. And then come back and listen to part two. And you will love it because it is full of exciting information and great conversation. Again, this has been Contagious Podcast, Contagious Conversations for Automotive Innovation. Make sure and like, subscribe, comment wherever you get your podcasts. Download Clubhouse on your iPhone. Get in the app and then join us Thursdays at 3 p.m. Central to continue the conversation. We want more voices and not less, and that includes yours. So join the conversation. Get automotive innovating so that more people are attracted to it to work with us and to buy and service with us. Thanks for listening.